Blog Talk Radio.
D-Ball! Everybody's talking, and no one says a word. Everybody's making love, and no one really cares. There's matches in the bathroom, just below the stairs. What you got?
What a do. It is April 7, 2020, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. You're listening to a live version of the Aunt Canary Experience. I'm your host, Aunt Canary, coming to you live from southeastern North Kakalaki. Where in a couple hours, we're going to go up under our curfew, 9 o'clock. And that's when I leave for work. Strange days. We are living in some strange days. Before I get started, I'm not going to give out the phone number to call in because I want you to take this opportunity to get something to write with and something to write on. I am going to give you a few things to look up and research since some of you may be working at home or you may be at home because you don't want to be at home. But I'm going to give you some things to look up and read about because I feel that when I do show tonight's show and next week's show are going to be on religion. I feel like when I do religious shows, and I've done some in the past, that black folk get mad for whatever reason. I don't know why. Because I think some people believe that religion is off limits to talk about. I don't know. I think everything needs to be talked about. But for some reason, when I do religious shows, black people get upset. So my thing tonight, instead of getting upset, I want you to get busy and I want you to look up some stuff. And I'll tell you those terms. And if I need you to write something down, I'll let you know. But before I get into this topic, I'm going to do some explaining and set the table for you. Because tonight's topic, well, tonight's title of the show is Religion and Coronavirus Ignorance. And there is a lot of it in this country. I can't say around the world because I don't live around the world. I live in America. And America, in my opinion, gets dumber and dumber and dumber as the days go on. Seems like some people have lost their common sense. And lately, religion has something to do with it because I believe that a lot of religious folks, when they really get in it and they really start huffing and puffing and let you know that they're into it, it does something to their common sense, and they just don't think. They don't use logic. And I think religion does that on purpose. I am not religious. I used to be, and I'm going to go into this story because I've got to explain this to some people listening, because there's going to be some people, especially black folk, are going to be mad about what I'm talking about tonight. And if you get mad, well, you know, that's your choice. I'm not doing this program to make anybody upset. I'm doing this program to let you know what's going on, because there are people in this country, they see stuff happening in this country, but then again, they don't see it. You know, and it starts with leadership. A lot of Trump's fans see the bullshit that he's doing, but they don't see it. They want to cover their faces up and they want to hide, pretend they don't see it when it's sitting right in front of them. And I think religion is kind of like that too. So, like I said, tonight's topic is religion and coronavirus ignorance. And I think I've said this, I probably had to tell this story before doing one of my religious programs, but I'm going to do it again just so people know where I'm coming from, okay? Because like I said, black people get upset when you talk about religion, when you talk about Christianity. I don't know why, because I do know that Christianity was and is the religion of our oppressors. Our ancestors were oppressed by this religion, and I have no idea why people of today still have these religious beliefs. And I think a lot of it is due to tradition. And what I mean by that is I grew up in the South. I'm still in the South. When I was younger, it was not even, you know, up for debate. You went to church every Sunday. And if your family was, you know, my family, thank goodness, my family wasn't that religious, you know. I know some people would go to church on Sunday, Wednesday, sometimes Saturday, you know, whatever. So it was, you know, it wasn't even up for debate. We went to church. Didn't know why, but we went anyway. Some of the religious traditions, didn't know why we were doing them, just knew we were doing them. My favorite holiday when I was a kid was absolutely Christmas. I had no idea why a fat white guy would come into the hood and drop off some cool toys for me every year, but he did. And I thanked him because I got some very cool stuff. Growing up in the 70s, you know, got racetracks, got action figures, got Star Wars figures, $6 million man stuff. I mean, I remember some very cool stuff back in the day. So I appreciate this fat white guy dropping it off for me. I mean, it was cool. Had no idea why, but I enjoyed it. Remember, next matter of fact, I'm going to do a show next week on Easter, the origins of Easter, because a lot of people probably don't know where Easter came from. And I'm going to talk about that next week, and that'll probably piss some people off. Well, if you want to be pissed, just be pissed. But I'm going to give you the truth about it, because there are a lot of underpinnings and stuff that you may not know about Easter, so I'll talk about that next week. So all I know is around this time, being a kid, we had to go to one of the major department stores. My mother would take me and my sister. She would get an Easter dress, even though she didn't like dresses. And I would get an Easter suit. Suit, vest, shirt, tie, shoes, socks, the whole nine. Had no idea why I was getting it, but I got a suit, new suit every year. And Easter was kind of weird because I remember they would have to add seats for the service because we would get a whole bunch of people coming in on Easter Sunday. And I went to a pretty decent sized church. Not a mega church, but it was good size. And I remember they would put the seats out and these extra people would come in. And then the following Sunday, they wouldn't have to put extra seats out because those extra people weren't coming back until the following Easter. And that probably went on at a lot of churches. So we did that. And being young, had no idea why you're doing it, but it was tradition. Now, as I got older, I started asking questions. Why are we doing this? What does this mean? And you'll notice, too, that the two major holidays in Christianity, because for some reason some people think that America is a Christian country, and it's not. There are over 4,000 religions in this world right to this day, and Christianity is not the major, we are not a Christian nation. I hate to tell you, we're not. But I started questioning things because a lot of this stuff stopped making sense. What religion will do to you, it will get rid of your cognitive thinking and it will get rid of your logic. Because if you think about some of the stuff in the Bible, and remember this, all religions in this world are man-made. They were either made by one guy or a group of guys. Christianity was created by a group of guys. Write down, I just went blank. It'll come to me. I need to write this stuff down. I think about the stuff ahead, and then when I get to talking about it, I always forget. The Council of Nicaea, that's what, I knew it's going to come to me soon, but you spell Nicaea, N-I-C-E-A. That's where Christianity was created. Like I said, all religions are created. Back before Christianity came around, all of the major civilizations had religion, what we call now mythology. Greeks had religion. The Roman Empire had religion. Germany had religion, which is called Norse mythology religion. Even before the colonizers came here, Native Americans had religion, and Africans had religion. And they were all different. But now they call those religions mythology. If you follow the Marvel movies, which I do, because I've been reading their comic books for over 40 years, the character Thor is a god in Norse mythology. He was the god of thunder. Every time it thundered, people believed that he was flying across the sky in a chariot drawn by a couple of goats, making it rain and thundering. Back then, those religions, Egypt had a religion too. So back then, they didn't have just one god. They had many gods and goddesses, because almost everything that they couldn't explain had a god to explain it. Like, you know, they decided that, you know, it's thundering and lightning. Where'd that come from? Oh, there's a god doing it. The sun's coming up. Why is that happening? Oh, a god is doing it. Hey, what's that? That looks like a moon. Oh, there's a god for that. So everything had some kind of god or goddess behind it. There was just not one god. It was more than one. And every now and again, you know, let's see, well, let me go back. Like the Norse mythology, the main god was Odin. Then the other two main gods were Zeus, and there were a few other. So you had a top god, and then you had all the gods and goddesses below that one. Matter of fact, if you've seen the last Thor movie, the major villain in that movie was Hela, which was Thor's sister. She was goddess of the underground. Her name spelled H-E-L-A. Now, what do we call the underground in Christianity? Hell, H-E-L-L. See? Similarity. So everything had a god or a goddess. And also some of the main gods and some of the other gods too, you know, they'd be up, because they always had the gods up in the sky looking down on earth. So every now and again, you'd have the main god looking down, and he'd see this fine little tenderoni, and he'd come down to earth and knock boots and get her pregnant. That sounds familiar, don't it? Okay. So there was a story to a lot of this stuff. It was had a god for everything, because that's the only way they can explain stuff. So that went on for centuries. It went on. Nobody said anything about it. Matter of fact, the planets are named after gods. Venus is the only planet named after a goddess. All the other, Mercury was the god of speed and some other things. You had Venus, which was the goddess of beauty. Mars was the god of war. Jupiter was a god. Saturn was a god. Pluto was the god of the underground, according to Roman mythology, if I'm not mistaken. So the planets are named after gods. The days of the week, some of them are named after. Thor's day turned into Thursday. Saturday turned into Saturn's day. Friday was named after a goddess. I think Frigg is her name. Sunday was named after sun. Monday was Moon's day. And I forgot what Tuesday was named. Tuesday and Wednesday were named after gods. So, you know, so days of the week named after gods. So Christianity was not created because somebody, as a matter of fact, it was created by Constantine, but he didn't do it out of the kindness of his heart. He did it because he wanted people to worship him. The two major Christian holidays falls right around the changing of seasons. Christmas falls right around when we go from fall to winter. That was done on purpose. And Easter falls when we're going from winter to spring. That was done on purpose. So these things were done on purpose because people that were coming up with this religion, Christianity, wanted to get as many people into it as they could. Because the Christmas season was a pagan holiday. Matter of fact, Easter was a pagan holiday. And so they smashed all this stuff together because they wanted to get more people involved. And that way they could get more people into church. Let me see something. Trying to look, see on my list. I can't find it. Okay. Let me just. I still don't see it. Okay. Major Stature. Anyway, okay. I'm going to take one break in my dialogue, and a phone, I got a phone call just popped up. Let me grab it. I'm trying to see if I knew who it was. Hey, hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Hello. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Hello? I think we're having technical difficulties. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I'll tell you what. Hello? Hey, can you hear me?
Okay.
Okay, hey, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I can hear you. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, I was just tuning in to see what the topic was about. I just tuned in.
Okay. Well, I'm just giving a little dialogue.
Right now, okay, go ahead. I'm just listening right now.
Okay, all right. I'll just put you on hold. You continue listening. Okay, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Well.
Okay, so a lot of these, like I said, the two main holidays fall around changing the season. That was done on purpose also. And I say, said all that to say this, that, and I have to say this to my brothers and sisters, because like I said, when I do religious shows, I'm not a religious scholar or anything like that. All I am, I'm just a regular guy that reads a lot. And when you do shows like this, you have to research your stuff. Because I've been doing this for 5 years, and I'm not the type of person that gets on here and just starts spouting off crap without looking it up. You have to look it up. You have to read, because I want to tell the truth as close to the truth as I can. But in order to do that, you have to read. You have to research. A lot of people don't read, and a lot of people don't research. You have to research. And my views on religion changed because I started doing research. So I'm not here to bash religion, because there are a lot of religion. I mean, whatever floats your boat, that's cool. I'm not here to change anybody's minds. All I'm saying, I'm giving you the story from my perspective, from what I'm thinking. Because I think for far too long, a lot of people have not been telling us the truth about certain things, which I think is pretty messed up. So, like I said, I think sometimes when you go back and you put logic to some of this stuff, it doesn't make any sense. And you have to keep reading, you have to keep looking, you have to keep digging, because if you don't, you'll just keep accepting things because somebody said, this is how we do it. And then you don't question why you're doing it. So I haven't been to church in, I don't even remember last, I think the last time I went to church was for a funeral. And I don't do it anymore, because it doesn't do anything for me. I also don't pray anymore, because I don't think it does anything for me. And the last time I prayed, I was let down twice. And I said, I'm not doing this anymore. A few years ago, I had a couple of cousins that were younger than me, but we were like brothers. We did a lot of stuff together. I mean, we hung out. I mean, we were just cool. And they both got sick right around the same time. And they both were in the hospital. And I prayed for both of them because I wanted them to get well. I wanted them to get out, because I was planning on going to go see them as soon as they got out of the hospital. I was like, yeah, I got to get on the road. I got to go talk. I got to see them. And both of them didn't make it. And that's when I stopped. Because I figured out that praying is a crapshoot. 50-50 chance. 50 is a 50% chance you'll get what you want, 50% chance you won't. And I didn't get either. And I quit. So I don't. Now, some people may do it. If you do, that's fine. I just don't. For me personally, I just don't do it because it doesn't do anything for me. It let me down. These two brothers were doing positive things in the community. They both had families. They didn't get in trouble. They weren't doing nothing crazy. They both got sick, and they both passed. I had to go. I had to speak at two funerals within months. I had never done that before. And it sucked. But I had to do it. And I shouldn't have had to do it for them because they did not deserve to go. You know, they left behind wives and children, and it sucked. And I was mad for a long time. So I tell my kids, and when they were getting older, I told them, I said, hey, when y'all get old enough, you can go if you want to, or you don't have to, because I'm not going to make you go. That's your choice. And religion is a personal matter. And it shouldn't be all up in the news every day. It shouldn't be in government. People shouldn't be telling you whatever. That should be a personal choice. But right now, we've got people in the news, people in the government that are using religion as a weapon, particularly the Republicans. They use religion as a weapon. And they know it. And they're doing it today. Because the topic of today's show is that you've got some people that are allegedly preachers, and I use that term lightly, that are giving people false information. They're selling people crap. And it's going to get somebody killed. Because this coronavirus ain't no joke. But these people I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, I've got some clips I'm going to play. They are going to get people killed, and they don't care because the only thing they're worried about is making money. Because America is a capitalistic society. It don't care who it runs over to get what they want. They will run your grandma over to get a buck because they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about me. They don't care. They don't care. Excuse me. All they care about is making money. That's it. And another thing that I want to get off my chest, too. If you are a very religious person, please stop telling children that this is the end of the world. Because it is not. I mean, if we can get through 400 years of slavery, if we could get through World War I, World War II, the Trail of Tears, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, almost had a Cold War, the Iraq War. I mean, if we can get through all of this stuff, we've had plagues before in the world. Please don't tell children that this is the end of the world because you're scaring them. You're scaring children when you say that kind of mess because you don't know when it's going to end. Nobody knows when it's going to end. And if it does, there ain't nothing you can do about it. But I don't think it's going to end because of this, unless this disease is going to kill every single person on the planet. And I don't think it will. But just stop telling kids that kind of stuff because you're scaring them. Because the one thing I did when I got old enough and got out of church, I was having complexes about life and death when I was a kid. Because it seemed like when I would go to church, they would talk about death all the time. And I remember there was a point, I don't know how long it was, but there was a point in my life, I was scared. I was literally scared to die. Because that's all they seemed to talk about. Life and death. You know, oh, you were born in this world a sinner, blah, blah, blah. And I was scared to die. That's another reason why I got out of church, because that's all they talk about. Most of them talk about, you know, you were born a sinner, and if you don't do this, you're going to go here, and if you do this, you go here. And I've got a clip of a pastor, of a priest, saying that heaven and hell are fake. They're made up. They were made for control. Because if they can get you to act a certain way, then they say that you will get rewarded. But if you don't act that way, then you're going to hell. And that literally scared the hell out of me. So I was like, nope, I can't do this. Because if you're going through life scared, then how are you going to have a life? And a lot of these people, especially these, I call them Trump evangelicals, they are full of shit. Because you have a man in the White House that has probably broken every single commandment. There's probably a couple he hadn't done yet. He has broken about every, he's broken probably 7 out of the 10 commandments, maybe 8, I don't know. But these religious nut jobs still think that he is just the best thing we ever seen. But these are also the same people that would have you believe that Barack Obama was a Muslim, and they believe Trump is a Christian. He's probably never stepped church in a day in his life. He's probably bought churches and knocked them down to build a Trump motel on. And this is why religion is screwed. This is why it's screwed. Because for 8 years when Obama was in office, that's all they got on him about. They, you know, he's not a real Christian. He's a Muslim. He's this, he's that, blah, blah, blah. And then you get a clown that's up in there now that raw dogs porn stars while his wife is at home with a baby, a newborn baby at that. But nobody says anything to him. And then you ask his followers, well, we all make mistakes. I forgive him. But yet he can still keep doing what he's doing. And they don't see it. They just brush it off. You know, not let anybody else do half the stuff that he's done, they'll nail him to the wall. So I think, you know, just religious stuff is not for a lot of us. And I guess I speak for me and people that don't believe. And again, I am not an atheist. A lot of people that, you know, that don't believe are not atheists. We just don't believe some of the stuff that other people believe. And that doesn't make us any different than anybody else. We have a right to believe what we want to believe. You know, if you want to believe in religion, that's your business. I choose not to. And that's my business. Because once you put logic to a lot of these stories, you know, the Bible was written by men, a whole bunch of them. I can't tell you the number, but I bet you there's a bunch of them. So when you go to writing this kind of stuff, you know, there's automatically a bias. And they put the stuff, and then, too, it's been proven that a lot of these stories in the Bible were based on other stories. You know, I can believe that dinosaurs used to walk the earth because scientists have found bones of them. But a lot of stuff in the Bible, I haven't seen proof of because they hadn't found this stuff that I know of. So, you know, sometimes science is a lot better than people guessing because, you know, that's what they think or whatever. So, you know, just because we think different doesn't mean that we're some kind of alien or whatever. And speaking of aliens, there's Scientology is based on aliens, some weird, yeah, look up Scientology, research that. That is some weird shit. I was watching, they used to have specials on TV about that stuff. Watch, you know, if you can get a hold of some of that stuff, watch that stuff. That stuff is crazy. Also, look up Mormons. They didn't believe that black people went to heaven. They wouldn't let black people join their church for a long time. And if you look that up and look up the origins of that, that is, you know, that's just a lot. That's crazy stuff. That is straight up nut job stuff. You know, I'm sorry. It's just crazy nut job mess. And then also, why is it that when you go to most black churches, they have the white Jesus, and you never see any black angels in these churches? That's because back in the day, a lot of these religions didn't think that black people had souls and weren't going to heaven. When black people had their own religion, voodoo and stuff like that, that stuff was called, you know, black magic. It was not, you know, that wasn't religion. That's some other kind of mess. Don't need to stop that. Because that's because they didn't believe that black people had souls and all this other kind of stuff. And the miniseries Roots, if you know, the old head, and remember that from way back when, the scene where Kunta Kinte was beat until he said his name Toby, to me, that represented them beating his name, his religion, his culture out of him because they want him to be a Christian. So they beat him till he said his name because they gave him, I guess they called Toby his Christian name, and they beat it out of him. They also beat everything else out of him. Because the only day that the slaves had to themselves was on Sunday. But then again, when they did have church, there was always some white guy or somebody sitting in the back making sure that they don't go off script and start talking about other stuff. That's why we didn't have any major riots in this country, because of stuff like that. Because I believe to this day that if the Haitian Revolution news had gotten to the slaves back then, I don't believe slavery would have been as long as it was. Nat Turner tried, but that didn't work. So there was only certain things in the Bible that they could talk about, and there was other things that was taken out of the Bible. You know, you got this religion talking about, you know, slaves, you better obey your masters and blah, blah, blah. And then they had this other thing where, you know, slaves, you know, you could beat your slaves, just don't kill them. And there was some mess about that too. So that's why I go back to, you know, why would people of today even practice this religion that, you know, beat down our forefathers and foremothers? I just don't understand it. So we're going to come across today, well, not come across, but we're going to talk about today how there are some preachers who's taking this situation we got in this country right now, and they're trying to use it to fatten their pockets. And I've got 6 clips, and I'm going to start playing them. So I'll try to get out of here right at 8:30, since I have to be on my way to work. But these preachers are, to me, what make religion in this country suspect. It makes people turn off religion. Because that's what happened to me. Because once you start seeing what these people are doing, you know, you're doing the total opposite of what I was brought up on. Because when I was coming up, it was like, you know, you don't lie, you try to help people out, you try to be good to people, you know. But today, with this mess, they don't care about nobody. They don't care about the sick. They don't care about the poor. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about me. Only thing they worried about is fattening their pockets. Because I believe that, you know, a lot of these, you know, we wouldn't have homeless problem or a poor problem if a lot of these preachers and pastors, you know, would do something. They don't. You know, during the week whenever church is not in, if you had these big churches, they could use these. I mean, I'm not saying all of them do, but there are some, you know, you use them as homeless shelters to get the people off the street. Because I see homeless people every night on my way to work. I drive past them. I drive past the shelter. And there's homeless people sitting, I mean, everywhere. Now, if these churches were doing their job, these people shouldn't be on the street. And they walking around, I work third shift, and they walking around the city all times of night. Shouldn't be that way. But like I said, a lot of these preachers, if they don't get, you know, if you ain't doing nothing for them, If you're not bringing them any cash or anything like that, then they ain't got no time. They have no time for you at all. And the newest scam they got going on, they got a number of scams, but the one that pisses me off is now they call it seed. And I put that in quotation marks, S-E-E-D, seed. And they want you to give them money. They call it a seed. And then they give you this long speech about, you know, something's going to grow from it and blah, blah. No, it won't. Because when I think of seeds, I think of stuff growing and returning something back to you. If I had an apple seed and I grew an apple tree, I'm hoping that that tree is going to provide apples or orange tree or peach tree or something. But the newest scam now, they call seeds. They want you to give them money. They'll take your money. And instead of giving it back to you with interest, they're going to put it in their pocket and go buy them a car, go buy them a nice house, go buy them some clothes or whatever, whatever. But that's the excuse they give you. Also, on a black entertainment TV station that I'm going to say that I'm not going to say what it is. You know what it is. They've got guys on there giving away water. Oh, boy. Giving away water with magical powers. And every time I see that crap, I turn. But I cuss it out, and then I turn. These people are giving people that have, you know, not a whole lot of hope and whatever, giving them bags of water and telling them, oh, come on, just stop. Just stop it. Just stop. This is what pisses me off about that stuff. Just stop. Because a lot of these people that turn to stuff like this, they're going through some stuff, and they need help. And you're going to give them a bag of water? Really? And see, this goes back to the praying thing. A lot of, you know, if you got a problem in your life, pray. That's it. Praying without action is just a waste of freaking time. If you're going to pray, you need to do something else with it. You need to get off your butt and go do something. For whatever you need, you need to do it. If you need a job, you can pray that you need a job, but your butt better be up in the morning looking for work. If you need somewhere to stay, you can pray for a place to live, but your ass better be up looking for a place to stay. If you need a car, you can pray about it, but you better be off your ass looking for a car. Religion, too, makes you dependent on them. And what if you got a problem, pray about it. Yeah, you can pray. It ain't going to do you no good if you don't do anything about what the situation is. You know, I tell my kids, I'd rather you get off your knees. I'd rather you stand straight whenever you got a situation. Stand up. Go take care of your problem. Because you can't take care of your problem on your knees. You have to take care of your problem on your feet. You know, my kids are looking for jobs, you know. The mother will tell them to pray. No. Forget that. Forget that. You've got the internet now. Get online. Look for stuff. It's a whole lot easier now than it was when I was growing up because we had to actually go out to these places and see what they were talking about. Now you just get online and look, and boom, 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 you know, and you good. So for these preachers to keep, you know, pray about it. No, you can if you want. But with that, you've got to get up and you've got to do something for yourself. You cannot be dependent on that. That's the only thing you're doing. It's not going to work. You know, if you need a car, and that's all you do is pray, a car is not going to fall out the sky into your driveway. You've got to put in the work. You need a job. You've got to put in the work. You can't be dependent on something to come just give it to you because, you know, I did a story a couple of years ago about, you know, why single black women always in church. You know, and the first thing that came out was, I can't find a real man. So they go to church, and I guess since they can't find one, then Jesus is going to be there. Okay, Jesus ain't taking you out on a date. Jesus ain't paying your gas bill. you have got to put in the work. And that's why I think religion, and we're going to get into a second, it just does something to people that just make them lose their minds, and they just lose all common sense. It goes straight out the window. It flies out the window. And when it flies out the window, it keeps flying because it makes no sense. You have to think and use logic. And the clowns I'm going to talk about tonight, you had the first guy I'm going to talk about. We've got this virus going around, and it hits people in groups. So that's why they're telling us to kind of back away from other people. That's why I'm at home. When I do go out, I get my stuff, and I come home. I don't get in the big groups of people because they say that this disease is spread in large groups of people. Well, the first client I'm going to talk about, he's a preacher. He just said, oh, forget about that. And he opened up his church when he was told not to, and people got sick. So they arrested him, as it should be. Because just because you're a preacher does not make you any more than anything else. Now, what I hope happens, that you disregard that order, you open up your church, somebody gets sick and they die, it should be on you because you were told not to do it. And this disease is attacking older people with other issues. So if you got really old people and they've got other things going on and they get sick and they die, that should be on your head because you were told not to open. But you do it anyway because you think for some reason that you can get away with stuff and nobody else can get away with it. Let's go to clip number one.
Despite a safer at-home order, this live stream video of a Tampa, Florida church service has ignited outrage, showing a crowded sanctuary. The church saying they should be considered an essential service.
People have gone totally crazy. As the president said, he wants to get everybody back worshiping God come Easter Sunday. That needs to happen.
President Trump has now changed that timeline, and that pastor now arrested for failing to follow the stay-at-home order in his county.
His reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in his congregation at risk and thousands of residents who may interact with them this week in danger.
And in Louisiana, despite a ban on large gatherings and a warning from the governor about their coronavirus cases quickly rising, hundreds of parishioners came to a church outside Baton Rouge, angering neighbors.
Y'all need to shut this church down!
Also, this street parade was held Saturday in New Orleans. The mayor telling CNN overnight it won't happen again.
Our musician community, our cultural bears have stepped up and said, hey, no more in the city of New Orleans. This is very serious here, and our people are dying.
And in Washington State, although this church choir practiced social distancing, two people are dead and dozens more sick. The group rehearsed right before the health department recommended no large gatherings. Now, choir members are remembering the victims.
We sat within 8 feet of her once a week for years, and now that chair's empty.
And now in New York City, the area that leads the nation in coronavirus deaths, the mayor says that anyone who ignores social distancing rules could face fines of up to $500. Kenneth and Mona, back to you.
Thank you, Andrea.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos.
Okay. See, sometimes you got to take responsibility for your actions. Just because you're a preacher does not give you the right to play with somebody's life. From what I remember when I was going to church, they said, and people say, that God is everywhere, right? So if God is everywhere, you can have your service at the house. And see, now we got internet. Back then, we didn't have that. And I used to bring that up, you know, that's when I started using logic to this stuff. Because it's like people say, well, you got to go to church. And then my thing is, well, what if you're sick? What if you can't go to church? Then what? If you're infirmed, if you want to go but you can't go, then That's something out of people's hands. They have no control over that. So what does that make them? Does that make them wrong because they can't go? But I thought God was everywhere. When I say God, I mean he or she, because we don't know if it's a man or a woman. We have no idea. But if God can be everywhere, then God can be in your house. So why can't you have service at the house? See, this is this kind of stuff right here, you know, because Trump was talking about it. Trump doesn't want you in church because he's religious. Trump wants you in church because he's worried about not getting reelected in November. This is why this disease is hitting us hard, because he was warned months ago before it got here, but he wasn't worried about that. He was worried about getting reelected. So whenever you see these phony photo ops with him with preachers in the White House, it's a game. It's a game to him. He's trying to put a front up for his base, his phony religious base. And I say they're phony because they are phony. Matter of fact, this clown, you know, the one that got arrested, he was there and he took a picture with the president. So all of them are in cahoots with each other, and they're all phony as hell. So my thing is, somebody dies, then you should be held responsible for it. Especially when you were told not to do it, and especially when you're told how this disease gets around. So not only are the people in church, they could be up for getting sick. When those people come out of the church and goes into their neighborhoods and their stores and their restaurants, and there's other people there that they don't even know, then you put them at risk for getting sick. So my thing, and I said it and I'll say it again, if you do that on purpose and somebody dies, your ass needs to be held accountable. That's it. You know, kind of like drunk driving. We all know what happens if you drink and get into a car. You could get in a wreck, kill somebody. You know it. So if you do it anyway and something happens, then you should be held accountable. Same thing like this. They told you, hey, leave it closed. Do your stuff online. Whenever this blows over, then you can go back to doing whatever. It's pretty simple. But it's that money that talks. When them pockets start getting dry, and all of a sudden I got to get people back in here because I'm running out of cash. Then you get them back in there, and then they get sick, and then some of them die. It should be on your head. You should be arrested for, I ain't going to call it murder, but they should call it something. Manslaughter, whatever, I don't know. They should give it some kind of, but you should be held responsible for it. Number two.
They don't want us to do this, but just turn around and greet two or three people. Tell them you love them. Jesus loves them. Amen. Listen, this has to be the safest place. I said this has to be the safest place. If you cannot be safe in church, you're in serious trouble. Serious trouble. We are not stopping anything. I got news for you. This church will never close. The only time the church is closed is when the rapture's taking place. This Bible school is open because we're raising up revivalists, not pansies. People said to me, are you shutting down church? I said, when they shut down Walmart, Costco, when they shut all the hospitals down, then we might talk about it. But, you know, church is a place that's supposed to be open to meet the needs of people. Are you with me? So far in the world, 149,000 people got infected, and there's been 5,600 deaths out of 7.5 billion people.
God will bring his people to his house to be contagious with the virus? Of course not. So welcome to the house of God. The atmosphere, everything in this house is the presence, the power of God. And in the presence of God, no virus can stand. Fear cripples you. I can't go to church today. Why? Because I think the apostle is going to have the virus.
Obama honored the enemies of Israel. Trump honors Israel. And it's a massive difference. And because of that, I predict America will be minimally affected by coronavirus.
And because of the administration that stands in this land, who honor me, who honor the covenants of your forefathers and of the Constitution, and because they have aligned themselves with Israel, and because they have sided on the right side of life, life in the womb, life given outside of the womb, therefore I give life to this nation and I give mercy. Do not fear. This virus is the Spirit of God.
I don't know if the apostles went around and air high-fived people and elbowed people.
See, that's the kind of crap right there. That's why I say they use religion as a weapon, you know, talking about abortion. Nobody's talking about abortion, dumbass, but that's what they get stuck on. They get stuck on that over and over and over again. But you know who gets more abortions in this country? Christian white women. They don't talk about that part, but they always want to bring up other nonsense. But I want you to hear that. Oh, this next clip, this talks about, you may remember this clown, Jim Baker. He's trying to sell some garbage, looks like peroxide that you get from the Dollar Tree. The state shut him down. Growing up in this area back in the day, he had a big thing out by Charlotte, the PTO Club, Praise the Lord Club. This clown was making money hand over fist. Try to open up a theme park. I mean, that's all that was on TV back in the day. I got so sick of that crap. It was just too much. Then he started knocking boots with a secretary and got caught. Ended up going to jail. His wife died, came back, got married again. He's back on TV again, peddling this bullshit. And now he's trying to sell a coronavirus cure that looks like peroxide in a bottle, and he got caught. This guy, you talking about clown. This guy's a clown. Listen to this.
Happy 80th birthday, Pastor Jim. It's been an honor to get to know you. You have persevered by the grace of God to build one of the most amazing ministries ever. Thank you for all your years of faithful service to the Lord. God bless you, and once again, happy birthday to you.
Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Welcome, everyone, to Grace Street. This is a very, very unusual day, a very important day.
Yeah.
And so much is happening in the world, and all we've heard about is impeach the president, you know, and that's all they've talked about on the news mainly is impeach, 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 impeach. And impeachment, 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 until we've gone impeachment crazy.
That's right.
It's stupid.
Right.
They're not taking care of the people. We have a sleeping monster in this country and in the world. We don't know where it's going to go. But the experts are telling us it could be the big one. I believe that
coronavirus.
It's from
the city of Wuhan, China.
Wuhan,
China.
75 million people have been quarantined in China.
But I'm trying to keep up with it.
Coronavirus.
A few days ago, it was 40.
No, it's 75, and that was yesterday morning that I saw that number. So it's maybe more now.
We don't really know how the data is being collected.
Amazing.
That we're reporting to you. I mean, the
number
of infected.
The numbers make no sense.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Our numbers are going like crazy, people. All right. All right. Here's the problem. What we got today. We have information that's not allowed to be told to you. Listen to me.
This is the news that you need to hear.
Are we in America yet?
Still, yes. Right.
Well, if we live through this show, we're going to.
Seriously,
I have a panel here that has information.
That's right.
That is beyond what you know.
Right.
And it's shocking.
This it's not just in China, everybody. It's here in the United States.
And here's the thing. When I was in the prison, God spoke to me the revelation and what would take place.
Right.
God first spoke to me in the prison. In the prison. He revealed to me as I studied the revelation, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, this virus could be the last of the four horses. That's what it's about.
If this is a true headline, which I've seen at other places, so I believe it's accurate.
Right. Yeah.
But it says coronavirus crematoriums are working
24/7. I've seen that a lot.
Burning bodies.
His employees are literally sleeping. At the crematorium, I feel a real weight for what could be taking place in the world literally in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
The amount of affected people has been doubling every, 6 to 12 hours. It's doubling.
Yeah.
Doubling.
Yeah.
Doubling.
Yeah.
Doubling. Doubling.
Yeah.
Doubling.
Mark,
what is this Mondo has here?
Creamy potato soup.
Look at it. It's
thick.
It's thick. It's mashed potato. But if you add double water, you're going to have
double it.
Double soup.
Double
it.
Absolutely.
Do you understand?
Double it.
It's great stuff.
Now, that could go several bowls.
Put your...
Gosh, honey.
Hold that.
That's really heavy for me.
I know.
I can do my exercises for my arms.
But look at it. You know, look at how piled that is up in that bowl.
That's amazing.
This is going to hold you.
Amazing. It's going to give you a peace of mind. But I do want to tell you, we have 12 buckets for a donation of $1,600 to the ministry.
Now, we're not living in fear. We're living in preparation.
No,
but
when I told you, Lori, and I said, honey, we've got the food, and what we will do, we'll have to. We just lock up the house. Nobody can get in.
No, you did.
You can't go to the mailbox. You can't go talk to the mailman. You love to talk to people. You can't do it.
I love to talk.
You can't do it. You love to talk to the mailman. So tell me again how many people will die.
1.95 billion people.
The information I'm reading is even if the plague doesn't go as bad as they feel it could, it can cause worldwide starvation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Is that right? Here's the only product, and this is insanity. God gave us this product, I believe.
Yes.
You're saying that silver solution would be effective.
Well, let's say it hasn't been tested on this strain of the coronavirus, but it's been tested on other strains of the coronavirus and has been able to eliminate it within 12 hours.
Yeah.
12 hours. Totally eliminate it. Kills
That's
it.
So good.
You never want to be without silver.
Never.
So never.
Never.
Never. And you can put it in anything. You can put it in any drink.
Never.
Never. You can put it in your soups.
It's right there.
I give it to my own bottle. I give it to my little daughter. I just let her drink it right from the bottle.
However
much she wants, she can have it.
That's right.
It has the ability to kill every pathogen it has ever been tested on, including SARS and HIV and other strains of the coronavirus. It's been tested on the SARS virus.
If people it's not, you know, people say, well, we don't want you to get panicked. Well, the thing of it is, I want you to be prepared.
Right.
Order it now.
Coronavirus. We're only talking about it in the sense that it could become a pandemic, it could become a panic, but it could also give rise to the Antichrist.
Exactly.
And
all
we could be
the food, survival food, is sold out in America.
Wow. I love that. Oh, it's amazing.
Yep, you're right. It's amazing that I sat here and listened to that crap for as long as I did. Next clip.
Skip it up and that up. So scumbag televangelists are saying that they could cure you of the coronavirus through your television or computer monitor, wherever, depending you're watching it from. Snake oil, man. Let's get into it. This video is brought to you by Manscaped's Lawnmower 3.0. Now, I just used the Lawnmower 3.0 to shave my entire head. Yes, I still have plenty of hair here, here, and here. And due to the advanced skin-safe technology, it makes it a breeze. I get no nicks, and it works just as good as if I go to a barber and get my head shaved there. And it's nice because it's portable. It has a 600 milliamp hour battery, which lasts up to 90 minutes. And it's 100% compatible with the same replaceable ceramic trimmer blade as the Lawnmower 2.0. So if you need a new trimmer blade, just simply swap it out. It's that easy. And it also comes with a rapid charge dock powered by USB, so you could charge your Lawnmower 3.0 anywhere. And one of the coolest things, that it has a built-in LED light right here, so if you need to get some really precise area and you don't want to trim your whole eyebrow off, the light will help you, and it has worked for me. It's awesome. And if you use the code RT20, you could get another 20% off your Perfect Package 3.0 at the link in the description. Again, use the promo code RT20 at the link below in the description to get 20% off your Perfect Package 3.0 order, which includes the awesome Lawnmower 3.0. So this information about the COVID-19 virus is from worldometers.info. This is the most current information. It was actually updated today. There is 143,770 worldwide coronavirus cases. There has been 5,394 deaths from it, and over 70,000 people, close to 71,000, have recovered. Also, too, if you look, 91% of active cases are mild conditions, because it's in the same family as the cold, okay, the coronavirus. So you're going to have a wide variety, because it's a new strain, but it's still in the cold family. You're going to have a wide variety of illnesses. Some people are going to have mild illnesses. Most people, anyway, statistically, are going to have mild illnesses, but some people, especially with compromised immune systems and other underlying health issues, they may have a more severe reaction to catching COVID-19. But anyway, this is official information coming from worldometers.info. And because this virus is spreading so easily, more so due to the fact that most people who get it just have mild symptoms, people are freaking out. Because it's not like SARS or MERS were, which had a much higher mortality rate and were much more severe, which kind of didn't allow them to spread at the same speed as COVID-19. So that's a big problem. And that's why you're seeing social distancing. That's why you're seeing states of emergency. That's why you're seeing much more concern about this, because of the fact that many people that get it have a mild case, think they just have the sniffles, and they're spreading it to 20, 30, 100 people. So it's a problem. Look what happened in New Rochelle, New York, with that lawyer. You know, it's virulent, and most people who get it don't even know they have it. That's a big problem, and that's a recipe for disaster. But don't worry about all that. We are cured. We are cured of the coronavirus, because televangelist Kenneth Copeland has cured us through our television screens. He said, put your hand up to the screen, and he's going to cure you of the coronavirus. So don't worry about getting tested. Don't worry about anything else. He is going to cure you. God, just look at it. Just watch it. Just watch.
Put your hand on that television set.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. He receive your healing.
Yes.
Now. Say it, I take it.
I take it.
I have it.
I have it.
It's mine.
It's mine.
I thank you and praise you for it.
Yes, Lord.
And I forgive if I have aught against any.
I forgive.
And I praise you that I'm well and whole.
I praise you that I'm well and whole.
Yes. According to the word of God.
According to the word of God.
I'm healed.
Yes.
And I consider not my own body.
Yes, consider yes. not my own body.
I consider not symptoms in my body.
I consider not symptoms in my body.
But only that which God has promised.
Only that which God has promised.
Only that what the Word has said.
Only that what the Word
And by His stripes I was healed. And by His stripes I am healed now. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed and the devil's trying to give me the flu.
That's right.
Or whatever else kind of thing he's trying.
Yeah.
Healed and well.
Yes.
In the sweet name
of Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Keep in mind, this is the same televangelist that recently, fairly recently, he said he had to buy a private jet through all the donations he gets from his followers, because he didn't want to be in a tube with demons. An Inside Edition actually caught him off guard while he was getting in his brand new Cadillac Escalade and asking him why he said that, and he had the most bizarre reaction. It's a long video. I'm just going to show you like a 30-second clip of him being a goddamn weirdo. This is the guy who just healed you of coronavirus through your TV screen. Here you go.
How are you, sir? We'd just like to ask you about why you don't want to fly commercial. Why have you said that you won't fly commercial? You said that it's like getting into a tube with a bunch of demons. Why do you think that?
No, listen to me just a second. Not the people. The main reason is because of the need. If I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing. That's really the main.
Isn't it true that you want to fly commercial so that you can fly in luxury? How much money did you pay for Tyler Perry's Gulfstream jet, for example?
Well, for example, that's really none of your business, but...
Isn't it the business of your donors?
Listen, I paid. You kind of caught me off guard here, okay? My wife thinks Inside Edition is... Oh, yeah.
And you have another televangelist, Jim Baker, who's getting sued by the FDA because he was saying his silver solution that he was selling could possibly cure you of COVID-19 as well. No FDA trials, no proof of that. He's like, well, it actually helped with HIV and SARS and other things, so it must help against the coronavirus, so buy it for $80. Hallelujah! Praise Jesus! Buy my silver solution! Can I get an amen? Can I get a cucumber? Can I? Yes, Jesus! Buy my solution that has no proof of curing anything! This pisses me off like you have no idea. You have a pandemic throughout the world. Yes, most people who get it, it's mild. The statistics show that. But it's still a problem. And it's still something that people are very concerned about. And because most people that get COVID-19 exhibit mild symptoms, it's dangerous for people with compromised immune systems or who are older who may get sick, and this may be life-threatening for them. And to put out misinformation like this, because there are people, obviously, that are devout to this dude and believes everything that comes out of Kenneth's mouth. And they may think that, oh, I have a sniffle, I have a cough, maybe I should go get checked to see if I have COVID-19. But, oh, Kenneth Copeland said he'll cure me right through my TV. Okay, cure me, Kenneth Copeland. Now I don't need to go get tested. And those people, you know, there are people that are that brainwashed to do that. They may actually have COVID-19 and spread it now to 1,000 people or 100 people because they think that their favorite televangelist, Kenneth Copeland, cured them. It's snake oil. It's snake. Him and Jim Baker are disgusting people who should absolutely be ashamed of themselves. This isn't a shot at religion. This isn't me getting political. This is me calling out bad people for doing bad things. And if you buy what they're selling, please, man, just use common sense and listen. This is dangerous stuff. This is purposeful misinformation because they're looking to profit off of it, and they're disgusting, and they should absolutely be ashamed of themselves. This is Rich of Review Tech USA signing out. Have a good one.
All right. Unfortunately, we got more news and travails from the right wing in America and minimizing coronavirus. So you remember Jerry Falwell Jr., who runs Liberty University, said, "Oh, I'm going to call the students back to college campus, man. This is like, we got to get back to work and we got to get back to school. And we can't be weighed down by this coronavirus." Again, if you don't live in America, you got to be wondering why. Why do they do this? Well, it's become a cultural thing now. McKay Coppins had a good piece in The Atlantic about it, which I'm going to tell you about in a second. But the right wing, because of Trump and Fox News' reaction, think it's being overhyped by the Democrats and the fake news media to try to weigh down the economy, hurt the economy, and thereby hurt Trump's chance of getting reelected. So the way that they're acting out is by saying, basically, it's not that big a deal. And so that's why Jerry Falwell Jr., who is a big supporter of the president, because the president is so moral, and his dad, of course, Jerry Falwell Sr., was found of the Moral Majority, and they run a religious university, and he cares so much about morality. That's why he took a picture with Donald Trump in his office in front of Donald Trump's Playboy magazines, where Trump was on the cover. And I don't know if he took it with his second wife or his third wife, Trump's. And I don't know if that's right before or right after Donald Trump was with a porn star mistress. But anyway, in this case, now that we've thrown morality out the door, the new thing is I can show how loyal I am to Trump by saying I'm going to call the students back. Now, that might endanger their health. Who cares, right? Coronavirus doesn't cut us. It's an old Turkish saying. It's as absurd when Turks say it as when the right-wingers here in America say, "Look, good man, it doesn't cut us. We're tough guys," right? So guess what happened at Liberty University? A possible outbreak. The head of their health department, basically, the person in charge of making sure that the kids are healthy, says 12 students have symptoms that are very similar to coronavirus. Three of them are already in the hospital because coronavirus doesn't care about your politics. It's not like, "Oh, no, man. Hey, Corona, you hear that they're trying to do this to Trump? Well, okay, lay off Liberty University, okay? Don't go there. Let's go hit the libs in California and New York." No, of course, it goes everywhere. And so I hope none of those kids, anything happens to them. I hope that they are safe because it's not at all their fault. It's this idiot Jerry Falwell and the idiot right wing who think that they're tough guys and have made this a cultural issue. So we send leads back to The Atlantic. McKay talked to some folks across the country, including people who live in a wealthy suburb of Atlanta. And they're saying, like, one particular golf course broken down now by the younger Democratic golf club goers. So they're all in the same socioeconomic class. They're being really careful. They're not sitting in the golf carts together. They're not sharing from the same water facility, whatever, right? Not shaking hands. But the older Republican country club members are making a big show, they're saying, of like shaking hands and sitting next to each other in the golf cart. Nah, we're tough, man. By the way, they're older. That's a disaster. See, we progressives actually care about Republicans. I know they don't care much about us, but we don't want you to get sick. We're not making fun of you. We're trying to help you. Well, a little bit making fun of you, but mainly we're trying to help you so you don't get sick, especially if you're older, because then your chance of dying are much, much higher. Okay. So anyway, another guy talks about, "Oh, yeah, I'm going hunting this weekend, man, or I'm going to the shooting range. Okay, we're going to keep life as normal." No, but you see, in the middle of a pandemic, you shouldn't keep life as normal. That's not a tough guy thing to do. That's a stupid thing to do. Okay, so that leads us now to a pastor in Tampa. Let me give you his name, and then I'll give you some actual stats, too, from how folks have reacted to this in Mississippi and Alabama. And by the way, thank you to all the members that I see whenever I do the live videos. See, like, Carol Proudfoot is a TYT member because she's got that emoji. You get that even at the most basic level at $1.99. At $4.99, you get our post games that Anna and I just did one. Was Jeanine Pirro intoxicated or not when she did her last Fox appearance? We had a verdict. Okay, you can check that out if you're a member. You could click down below if you're watching on YouTube. There's a little join button. Paul Dirty, thank you. Or Derky, thank you. Joshua Pate just joined up. Thank you. I do more of this when I do my Ask Me Anythings. You could also be a member by going to tyt.com/join. Okay, let me keep going. So the pastor in Tampa was Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. And he brought in hundreds of the members of his church in over the weekend, business as usual. He said, they're trying to beat me up over having the church operational, but we are not non-essential. Okay, well, good for you. Bless your heart. Except don't do that. Were the congregants sitting 6 feet apart? Of course not. Of course not. They're all over each other. I don't mean them in any other way than that they're sitting too close to one another. Now it's Florida, and so you never know when they have a Republican governor. But no, they did the right thing. It's Tampa, Florida. And the cops put up a sign on his church saying, be careful. Don't go in there. It's basically saying discouraging people from going inside, according to a local Fox 13 station. And it turns out Daily Beast reporting that Florida sheriffs have arrested the pastor. So, and then the pastor is defending himself, and he was, by the way, charged with unlawful assembly and violation of public health rules. And this guy, you're going to be shocked to find out, is a nut job, and is a conspiracy theorist that has gone on Alex Jones's show. He has in the past called deadly hurricanes, quote, nothing burgers, because they too might prove climate change. And that would be against the political agenda of the right wing in this country. So minimize it. And if people get caught in the path and die, well, that's their problem, I suppose. But if the coronavirus is inside your church, that's also your problem. Anyway, in this case, he said, we brought in 13 machines that basically kill every virus in the place. If they sneeze, it shoots it down like at 100 miles per hour, and it will neutralize it in a split second. No, it will not. It will do no such thing. There are no such machines. You're an idiot, and you're endangering the lives of the people who trust you and go to that church. You're going to shoot down the virus at 100 miles per hour. What the hell is that? It's not a thing. None of that is remotely true. He, of course, also on February 26th, said that he could cure coronavirus like he did with Zika. Well, I didn't know that the good pastor Howard Brown had cured the Zika problem. Well, that's my bad. Here I thought it was scientists and doctors who had battled it. And actually, in that case, efficient government officials, yes, they exist. And yes, in a pandemic, you definitely want one rather than a carnival barker. It makes a giant difference. That's who actually, of course, cures Zika virus. But one more thing from the good pastor here, or perhaps the bad pastor. He said, this has to be the safest place. If you can't be saved in a church, you in serious trouble. Okay, that's a direct quote. That's not how it works. I shared a story with you guys at the end of last week. Another pastor went down to Louisiana. He's was from Virginia, and he was preaching the Lord's not just sermons, but he's a singer. He's an evangelical singer, spreading a good word. And he said, it's okay if you're touched by Jesus, no germ will touch you. Unfortunately, he passed away from coronavirus. Again, not a ha-ha, but guys, it's real. And if you're a right winger out there, hate me on everything. Hate the messenger. Don't believe me on anything. Trump is awesome. Vote for him again. Whatever you want. But if you're going to trust me on anything, this is the one. If you go around not doing social distancing and you're touching all the surfaces, you're touching other folks, the virus is real and you're not going to prove it wrong. Now back to the Republicans and how they're pushing this from the top. Glenn Beck last week said, I would rather die than kill the country, making an argument for everybody to go back to work. And the lieutenant governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, said, those of us who are 70 plus will take care of ourselves. And he went on to say, like, hey, listen, sometimes you lose people, and that's okay. And leave the 70-year-olds to fend for themselves, basically. But we got to get the economy going. So in other words, I care more about my money than I do about my life. And before I get to more quotes, I appreciate all the new members. Naked Natalie just joined. Chris Bloom just joined. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. There's the button down below to join. And also we're doing a drive, tyt.com/go, to keep the Young Turks healthy and sustainable. Thank you for participating in that. So that brings me to Dennis Prager's quote. What did Dennis Prager think? Of course, if you're actually doing social distancing, compared to outbreak, I'm quoting The Atlantic, compared to outbreak mitigation efforts to, quote, Nazi appeasement. Of course. Because for the right wing, everything is Nazi appeasement. Scientists, Nazi appeasement. Doctors, Nazi appeasers. So here's a direct quote from Prager. He said, that attitude that the only value is saving a life, it leads to cowardice. It has to. No one can die. Then it's not a war. Wait, who's the war against? If the war is against the coronavirus, then we don't want to die in that war. It'd be kind of pointless to die in that war. Dying in that war would mean the coronavirus was winning that war. Is the war against libs? You're going to own them by dying? You're going to prove your point against the no good libs. I'm going to live rent free inside your head by getting the coronavirus and passing away. What? Okay, you can't make heads or tails of it. But that's the thing. In America, there's now this giant cultural divide. And the right wing and the left wing just don't live on the same planet. And right wing will not listen to facts, scientists, media, professors, higher education is bad. All of it is bad. The only people who are good is Trump and his surrogates. So in Mississippi and Alabama, the governors are opposed to more forceful mitigation policies. They very clearly said it last week. I did a video about the Alabama governor saying, this ain't New York, this ain't California, this is Alabama. I don't know what that means. What is it? Okay, this coronavirus can't cross the border of Alabama. It's like, oh, phew. Now, of course, there's coronavirus in Alabama. Three people have already died, and they do. There's almost no testing in Alabama. If they had testing and they had test kits, they'd realize they have way more cases than they realize. And then finally, this fun/terrible fact. According to a recent analysis by the New York Times, I'm quoting The Atlantic, quoting The New York Times, Trump won 23 of the 25 states where people have reduced personal travel the least. So reducing personal travel, obviously one of the top ways of doing social distancing, and the overwhelming majority of the states that Trump won are doing it the least. Because coronavirus doesn't cut us, man. We're tough. That's not how it works. Science is non-negotiable. But have at it, Hoss, or I'm telling you, I hope you don't have at it. I hope you stay safe. But most likely, if you're a right winger, you're not going to listen to me or any of those damn scientists, because coronavirus obviously ain't going to get into Alabama or Virginia where the pastor died, or Tampa where the pastor were arrested, or back to Virginia at Liberty University where there now might be an outbreak of coronavirus. All right. Word to the...
Okay. Those last two clips, they were trying to sell you something, but just disregard that. I kept them in because I wanted you to hear the information that what they were talking about. We're coming down to the end of the show. I just want to give you those examples of why right about now religion should not be playing a part in this outbreak at all. But you've heard the evidence. You've heard these people peddling stuff, trying to get you to buy, trying to get you to believe, whatever. My thing is, I'll take my medical advice from actual people I went to actual medical school and knows what's going on. I'm not going to take my medical advice from Trump. I'm not going to take my medical advice from these crazy-ass preachers. I'm not going to do it. Common sense, people. That's common sense. This is the end of the show. Next week, we're going to do the real deal about Easter. I will give you some terms to look up. I gave you one. I'll give you a couple more next week to look up because I think this is important. You know, like I said, I'm not trying to knock religion. If you're a religious person, I'm happy for you. But, you know, what you guys should be doing is getting people like these examples of you, and y'all need to get rid of them. Do something with them because they're just bringing you down with just stupidity and just straight bullshit. Nobody's going to cure you of coronavirus through the TV. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to drink some kind of liquid that they haven't even tested and get rid of it. I'm sorry. It ain't going to happen. So if you listen to stuff like this and believe it, taking your life in your own hands, that's on you. I wouldn't recommend doing it. So, like I said, I'm out. Hope you got something from tonight's show. I will be back next week with the real deal on Easter. And I'm quite sure I probably pissed off a few people. Well, I mean, what can I say? All I want you to do is think, use logic, and just a tad, just a smidgen of common sense when it comes to stuff like this. All right. See you next week. Peace out.